Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. Okay, let's begin. We're up to the beginning of Mishlei. We're up to Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet. Okay, Lo says Lifsoyim Ormo Lenar Das Umezima. We're still in the middle of the introduction. The introduction goes through the first six psukim. Over here, Shlomo is explaining to us the reason why he wrote Sefer Mishlei. So he already learned in the first two psukim that it was to acquire Das and Musar, understand the Rebina, and then to go further, Lokachas Musar Haskel, Tzedek and Mishpat Mesharim. And now he tells us that who is all of this knowledge intended for? He told us the process, there's a long process of all different forms of Chochmah and Bina, Tzedek, Haskel, Mishpat, and Yashar, but now the process is all for whom? Who Allah says, Lefsoyim Arma, Lenar Dasu Mezima, Yishmach, Pasuk Hei is Yishmach Chochem Yosef Lekach, V'Novon Tachbulos Yikneh. So if you read these two psukim all together, if we read them psukim together, there's a whole collection of people. There's a Pesi, and there's a Nar, there's a Chocham, and a Novon. It's like the Arba Bonim. Sefer Mishlei is being addressed to the Arba Bonim. That's really what it is. The Pesi, the Nar, the Chocham, and the Novon. How would you match up the Arba Bonim to these four people? You have the Chocham, the Tam, the Sheni, the Elishal, and the Rasha. We won't say over here one of these people is the Rasha. I wouldn't go so far to say someone here is a Rasha. I don't know, but it's very interesting over here that indeed he does present four different groups of people that will derive great benefit from studying Sefer Mishlei.
So we said the 800 Mishalim, right?
800 Mishalim.
Four different ways to look at it.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Interesting idea. That's a very nice point. Okay, but that's who the audience is intended for. So let's see first in the Mitzvot Pasuk Dalet. Okay, everyone is going to have their own interpretation of how to translate these four groups and the meaning of this pasuk. Okay, Pasuk Dalet in the Mitzvot David. Law says Hadvarim Hanemardim Po, the words that I said over here, Yo'ilu Law says L'Shaitim. Because this is the first major chiddush of the Mitzvah Stav, that a Pesi is a Shaita. Pesi is a fool, who he calls a Shaita. His Chachmus, they will give him some knowledge. L'Hasir HaPisyas Melibam, to remove the foolishness from their heart. L'Nar, okay, the next category, what's the difference between a Nar and a Shaita? L'Mishu Rach B'Shodim Asher Yase Masa Bevli Das, someone who's young in years, who behaves on impulse, who behaves before he does things before he thinks, of limach shava kiduma, without a prior thought, hadvarim limach shava kiduma, hadvarim mohem, these matters, the matters of sefer mishlei, yu'ilu will give him the ability likno stas machshava, to acquire understanding and knowledge. Ratzulaymar me'ata, from now the nar yachshav bedavar. Adlo ye osena. He will think before he does something. Think of the consequences. Think of the consequences of his actions. So from the Mitzvot, it appears that the Nar is not nearly as bad as a Shaita. A Nar has potential. Nar, he acts foolishly because he's just young in years. But when this child will become a mature adult, we can have confidence that he will be a wise man. On the other hand, the Pesi does not seem to have much hope. The Pesi is a Shaitik, because we're dealing with a person who already is an adult, and he just is a foolish person. He's a Shaitik, does not have enough knowledge to realize that there are consequences, ramifications for his actions. Perhaps by learning Sefer Mishlei, he will wisen up, he will be filled in with insight that will change his approach to life.
So these, say, based on what you're just saying, that Nar is young, Pesi is
an adult, yeah.
A teenager,
okay, adolescent, yeah.
And Chacham is when you get older, and Novon is...
Fascinating. You want to say four different groups. But it's all out of order, though, because the Nar then, the Nar we would expect to be put first.
Yeah. But Pesi is born a Pesi, usually, so...
So you're saying there's no potential. Whatever he is, even as a child, it's not going to make a difference.
Someone who was born with a deficit.
Or you,
okay,
Nar
that
is, you know,
He's just young in years.
He's immature.
And Chacham already, he's a degree of maturity. And then Navon is already an adult. We have facets. He's saying, I want to say it's the four different stages in life. A person is born where maybe you don't have to look like the Mitzudos. You can have your own interpretation. The Pesi means a toddler. A toddler has no clue what he does. And then you get a Nar. You get a Nar ready. He's already a little bit more mature, but he just doesn't behave. He doesn't think before he behaves. And then Chacham and not very good. So four different stages in life. Now, let's read the next Pasuk. Pasuk Hey, Yishma Chacham. Who else will benefit from Sefer Mishle? The Chacham. Don't think that the Sefer is only going to be for the young. It's also of a benefit for the adults. When the adult, the Chacham, will hear the words of Sefer Mishle, he will acquire more knowledge. He will acquire knowledge. Okay, an expression. And the one who is Navon, the deep thinker, the person who already has succeeded into the degree of Bina, Maven Dav Mitoch Tov, we discussed yesterday, a person who already has an advanced level of knowledge, also Yikne al Yodai will acquire through the study of Sefer Mishle Tachbulos. Now, what are Tachbulos? This literally means tricks. It means techniques. So here it really means like a technique, a new mahalach in life. Vehem, one of these things, he translates the word tachbulos, dvarim amukim. He's saying here the part of the word should not be translated literally as a, because sometimes a tachbul has a negative connotation. It means you're trying to beat the system. And that's not obviously to manipulate. A manipulator, it's not a good thing. But here he does not say that he refers to something negative. He means something positive. Things that are amukim, that are very deep. Be'iun rav, bedakos hamachshava, delicate fine points in of knowledge. It's a positive mila. Depth of knowledge. Four different categories. So again, we're summing up these two psukim according to the Mitzudos. He's telling us that this Chachma of Sefer Mishle will benefit four different groups of people: the Pesi, the Nar, the Chacham, and the Navon. As Rav Meir says, very four different stages in a person's development. And this is a very powerful idea, because we all know that in the world, when you buy a book, or you buy a toy, or you buy anything in this world, anything that we come in contact with, there's always an age group. Right, this toy is good for 3-year-olds. Don't give this toy to a 1-year-old. He may choke, chas v'shalom. And then you come to buy a little of this book is good for a 9-year-old. And you want to go college level books. And then there are books that are, there are certain books you have to be have to have advanced degrees to even read these very complicated science books. You have to have background. Every ruba de ruba, every something that is presented in this world, whether it's a book, whether it's an object, is only geared to a very limited audience. But Torah, okay, forget about Sefer Mishle, that we know that that's one of the milos of Torah, that you take a pasuk in Chumash, a pasuk Bereishis, Baruch Elokim Eis HaShemayim V'Eis HaAretz, can be taught to a child, and there is one level of understanding, and the same pasuk can be taught to a child that's a little bit older, and to an adolescent, an adult, and a zaken. And each person on their level can see in the same pasuk different layers of understanding. That is the divine nature of Torah, and the same way that's true for pasuk in Chumash, it's true for a Mishnah, a piece of Gemara, a Maamar Chazal. Ayin panim l'Torah. The Torah is one that is divine knowledge. It's good for every different stage in life. Shlomo HaMelech is telling us that his book, Mishle, was inspired through Ruach HaKodesh. As we learned yesterday, the Hakdam, that Shlomo HaMelech, he fasted for 40 days, like Moshe Rabbeinu, 40 days and 40 nights, to be zochet to a level of Ruach HaKodesh, where he was able to bring down to this world a level of Chochmah, the Mishalim, the parables, which can be understood on different levels. Whether you're a person is a Pesi, a Nar, a Chacham, or a Navon, every person has what to gain from his words of Chochmah, which again come through Ruach HaKodesh. It's a very bold statement also, what he's saying, because he's trying to say that my Chochmah is on par with the Torah. because today no one would dare say this today. No living person say that I'm going to write a book, and my book is good for someone in kindergarten, and it's good for a zakeh and someone with a postdoctorate. No one have the chutzpah to do that today. To say you write a sefer. The sefer is, it's high school, it's elementary school, it's college level, it's for a PhD, a student. Every degree of chachma is custom made for a certain group of people. Shlomo Melech is saying that no, my sefer, everyone can benefit from this sefer.
I wouldn't say
Shlomo HaMelech. He's being honest. He's the Chacham Mikol HaAdam. He was the wisest of all men. He's saying it's a matter of fact. I was zechah to Ruach HaKodesh. He fasted 40 days, 40 nights. No, so he's being very honest. A humble person, humility. We always make a mistake and think humility means a person he makes believe he knows. He
it's no Chachma to be humble if you don't know anything.
You know where you're holding. Humble means you know where you stand. You know what you are. You know your worth. And you don't make believe to be more than what you are. But you know where you are holding. Moshe Rabbeinu was the un of Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was greater than everyone in Klal Yisrael. He didn't abuse. He did not abuse his knowledge and his power. That's the humility. He had the power to take advantage of his knowledge and of his power, and he did not do so. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew where he stood. There's a saying, you have to be a Talmud Chacham to be a Napi Kairis. Someone just comes along, someone sitting on the street and just starts saying words of kafira. So you're going to say he's a Napi Kairis? You have to be a Talmud Chacham to know the facts, to know the Mamari Chazal, then to go and turn the wrong way to be a Napi Kairis. Someone that just stumps says Narishkeit. Okay, so he's foolish. He's a Shaita. He's not on the Madreka of a Napi Kairis.
That's what they say about Chumash, the other thing. So who's the author of the Chumash?
Hashem.
What do you teach Chumash to?
To everyone.
Well, you start teaching with little kids.
Right.
With Gemara, which was later. You don't teach the little kids, you teach the older kids.
Okay.
Everything's in the Chumash. You should be teaching Chumash to the oldest people.
So the point
of the matter is that Chumash can be understood on every different
level.
Gemara can't be understood by a little kid.
Okay, but even though Gemara can absolutely be understood, but Gemara can be understood by a 13-year-old child,
right.
And then you can teach Gemara also
right.
To a Zakin Mufluk.
But not to a 6-year-old child.
Okay, alright, okay. Chumash, you're saying, is even greater. Chumash, the scope of Chumash is even greater than the scope of Gemara. Absolutely. And Shlomo here is saying that my book also, it's going to cover all four grounds. So it's a very powerful statement.
You're talking about different levels with children, for example, a 3-year-old. I bought my three-year-old nephew, the grandchild, and I bought him a nice toy. And he looked at it, and he went crazy about it. He loved it, right? So my daughter told me that after about 3 or 4 days, he took it up, threw it on the floor, and that was the end.
That's it.
Yeah, you don't know.
He matured. In 3 days, he matured. When adults play with toys, you know you got a problem, right? You outgrow your toys. You just want new toys. You want a car. Then you want a nicer car. Then you want a yacht. Then when you really have nothing to do with yourself, you become like you buy spaceships, right? Private enterprise to buy a plane to go fly supersonic speed to fly in the sky. The older you get, the more sophisticated the toys.
It was like a
but you never
the light railway in Yerushalayim. Leon lights up and everything, beautiful piece.
Okay.
Finally got fed up with it.
Okay, now let's see Rashi. Rashi doesn't elaborate to such a degree. Rashi is a little bit differently. Rashi pasuk dalin hey, lo seis lipisayim arma. Now notice Rashi here is something very fascinating. Rashi over here is mixing the books. Koheles, who's Koheles? Man de kar shmei. Koheles. We're dealing here. The author of the book is Mishlei Shlomo and David Melech Yisrael, who's Koheles? So you learn Chumash Megillos. Okay, so you come and you're introduced that he has a nickname. He called himself Koheles. But Rashi over here says something very weird. Mishlomel Omar Koheles Liknas Ma'am HaPesoyim Arma. So he's saying no, that's one of Shlomo Melech's names. Rashi here, as a matter of fact, says you can't take away. I don't know. There's something very deep here. I don't know what it is, but don't forget that Shlomo HaMelech has another name, Koheles, and whatever that name represents, whatever that name captures in the essence of Shlomo, is also being presented here as part of the Mishalim, the parables. Mishalim Elu Amar Koheles, Liknos Mohem, the purpose of these Mishalim is the four groups. HaPesoyim Orma, a Pesi should acquire some. Orma is cunning. We didn't really properly define these words. Let's look at the Mitzudos here and just jump back for a few moments. Arma, what's Arma? Arma is his chachmus, wisdom. It's another word of, on a very simple level of wisdom, to be sly. You have to be deceitful. Arma has a negative connotation in our vocabulary. An Arum means a person that's a deceiver. He gets the better of you. He takes advantage of you. I was dealing with leasing a car. So I had some experience with this in the past. I was talking to my sister-in-law. Also, they were discussing leasing a car. So I said, I know every hidden fee. I was warning her the entire process. And I'm recalling from memory, there's going to be a bank fee, there's tax, and then I went to a whole long list of everything, and I says, I know, when I'm dealing with this guy, getting the car, I know every single hidden fee, and I'm confident that it's a good deal. So then I spoke to the broker, and I spoke to him, and I went over everything. I said, I think I got it all. There are not going to be any hidden fees. I said, are you sure there are no more hidden fees? I asked him all on the phone. He says, no, that's it. And sure enough, they got me. There was another hidden fee he was able to finagle, to sneak in the last minute. And I said, I couldn't believe he got me. I thought that they had me, a car salesman, that I already outsmarted him. No, he outsmarted me. It's an Arum. An Arum, a person that's able to deceive you. I can't say he deceived me, but...
Could you say that it's talking, Shlomo was saying, that to give the Chachma to the Psoim with Arma, to use Arma to give him the
Law says lepesoyim. It doesn't seem that's the pshat. I hear what you're trying to say. I mean, through the mashalim, I'm going to deceitfully put in the mind of he wouldn't want to come to shir. You have to trick the pesi to come to the shir to learn.
Is the opposite of Arma.
You see, what's very strange is that you would never put these two together. The pesi, and you would say the armo, you would give it to, it's a very sophisticated term of knowledge. You would give it to the navon, to the chacham. Here we're giving to bedavka. Who are you giving the armo to? To the pesi. It's dangerous. The pesi is the one that you don't want to give the armo to, because who knows what he'll do with it. Especially for a pesi, for the navon and for the chacham, so they can handle the arma. But from all of the people that are going to get the arma, we're giving it to the pesi. That's all part of the deeper message: is that he needs. You have to embellish wisdom. The pesi, it's too boring just to give the chacham and the pesi, the chacham and the navon regular knowledge. We have to. The pesi would not take it. We have to embellish the chacham with arma in order that the pesi will take the bait.
Sometimes the seed is good.
Well, Yaakov Avinu in Ikesh Tistav, we're going to have that passage later on, with a fool, with a cunning person, you have to deal cunningly. You got to know your match. Yaakov Avinu had to deal deceitfully with Lavan. Lavan tried to finagle him with his wages, and Yaakov Avinu had to outsmart Lavan. That's what Chazal tell us.
So, what's the name with Bessies? We use ABA, which is like reinforcement. So if I want somebody to walk and open the door, what I say is, here, hit me. And They keep on moving. They keep on trying to hit until they get to the door.
You think you're the doctor.
So you train them by using...
ABA.
ABA. It's behavioral modification.
Oh. Okay, the Hanami. So you, that's exactly what it's saying. A Pesi is a person that's not standard. His derech hachayim of knowledge is not straightforward. For him, you need to train his mind with chokhmah in an unusual way. That's the word you want to say. It's a very, very good idea. It's a very beautiful idea. That's why bedavka armor, which indeed does have, over here, the mitzudos is whitewashing all of these words. If you notice, the mitzudos is saying, in this context, armor doesn't have a negative connotation. It means it's a sophisticated form of wisdom. That's what he says. Look in the mitzudos Sion. Arma inyan his chakmus kumo orum ya'arim hu. There means who's a wise man. But you can't deny the fact that armor generally does have a negative connotation. It means some trickery. And indeed, it's suggesting that a Pesi is a person that's not operating 100%. He has a crooked view of the world. And in order to convince him to study Torah and to wisen up to Yiras Shamayim, as we're going to learn, you have to come on to non-conventional means of education to succeed. Okay, Nas, Tlanar, that's back in Rashi. We have over here, Lust Lipsamar, Mishamel Amar Kailas Liknas Mechamaham Pesoyim Arma. Lenar das, the nar, he needs knowledge. The gam lenar hamenur mikol limud. Also to the nar, now he's translating over here, that's menur is shaken out. Mikol limud, from all knowledge, shlelomad adayin klum. The reason why we're giving, he's explaining the reason why we need to give the nar das, because the nar is an individual who is empty. There is nothing in his mind. It's as if someone turned him upside down and shook out from his head any amount of knowledge. What?
Tabla rasa.
What does that mean?
He's a blank blackboard.
Blank blackboard? So this is what, that's why das, because das, seemingly according to Rashi, means it's the beginning of knowledge. You teach him the aleph base. You teach him the elementary concepts. And why? Because that is the essence of a nar. A nar is a person, according to Rashi's interpretation, that is running on empty. Okay, next words, mizima, machsheves eitzah, plans. Okay, a nar doesn't just need knowledge, a nar also needs a plan. Now, there is this is something, another idea I want to bring out, that a nar is generally a word that we use now in vocabulary to refer to someone who is young. Yosef, when he was 17 years old, the pasuk says, v'hu nar. Vuhunar, remember the pasuk Balpeh?
Yeah, Vuhunar is Bnei
Vilov Bnei Zilpa. Diva Samra. He's a nar. Now, we translate this word, it's a hard word to translate. When does the age of nar end? I mean, people always joke on the Simchas. Nar Hayis V'gam Zokanti. Excellent. So you see the word nar is used in contrast to a zokin, someone who is young. People always joke on Simchas Torah, whoever gets Kol HaNa'arim. Right, you get Kol HaNa'arim. Now you're giving Kol HaNa'arim to the children come up, we call the children up and they all spread the talis and they all make the bracha together. But the person who leads Kol HaNa'arim, you always hear a joke, oh, he's Taka Anar. You're giving Kol HaNa'arim to...
In Yiddish, an hour with an aleph, he's a fool.
With
an aleph?
It's not the type
Yiddish,
of
Yiddish.
Oh, so what does the Barbanel say?
He says that, in other words, he treats a full nar.
This is nar.
Yeah.
They are part. In other words, he lorded over them. Buhu nar, he treated them like a nar.
He treated them like a nar.
Buhu nar is b'nei bilhom.
Ooh, he treated them like, very nice.
He was telling that he was giving them
advice. He was bossing them around.
He never went out in the field with the sheep to be a shepherd. But he was giving
them advice. He was treating them like Na'arim.
What's liked about him because
he was lording over them.
You don't even do work in the field and you're telling us how to do our job.
But even according to the Barbanel, the word Nar means he was lording over them, meaning that he's treating them like children.
Right. Yeah.
But Nar means youth. Nar hayisi gam zakanti. When does the age of Nar end? How old do you have to be not to be a Nar? Yosef was 17 years old at this point in time. Many of us will assume that the age of Nar ends when you're 5, 10 years old. What does it mean Nar? So this pasuk, if we take this pasuk, and we take the word Nar to mean youth, and we connect it...
You, but he said, then he, maybe it's the Barbanel that goes in. I thought maybe it was something you said about what's considered Zalkane. He goes into a whole speech.
Yeah.
about how old he have to be to be called a Zakein, but
yeah,
it's a wide range of years, because you see Avraham was called a Zakein at one age, and then 60 years later the Torah still refers to him as Zakein. Nar, the same thing. Being a Nar Boche by Moshe, and Nar again by Yosef, who's 17, and then he says Nar again by Yoshua ben Nun. And that Yoshua was already much older, 60 years old.
Excellent. So you see, we have a problem. So where does Nar end? So here I want to say is the Yisoid. This Pasuk in Mishlei is opening up a whole new world to explain to us.
Every category is a wide range of ages.
But it's telling us, so when does Nar end? Nar says, Lo says, Lenar das, okay, knowledge, umizima, a plan. If you don't have a plan in life, until you reach a point where everyone is always struggling, what's my purpose in life? Why did Hashem put me in this world? What's my plan? Or someone goes to medical school. I was just speaking to someone yesterday, and it's about his son. I was shocked. I mean, he has a son that's been in medical school already. He's probably finishing up his residency. So I said, so what is he going into? What's his specialty? So he says to me, I don't think he decided yet. I said, what? You're a resident 4 years, you haven't decided what your specialty is? Such a thing as Shaykh?
I'm a resident, hopefully, but
by the third year, now you have to apply in advance. So
what?
Become a resident.
Okay, that's a different mahalach. But over here, Rashi says a mezima simply means a plan. What is your plan? Until you decide what do you want to do with your life, you're called a nar. A person who is in 8th grade and says, I want to be a doctor. This is my goal. Excellent.
Now I understand why my wife still calls me a nar.
You have to decide what you want to do in life. What is your plan? If you don't have a plan, you're called a nar. So your person can be 60 years old. I don't have a plan yet. I don't know my purpose. Yeshua is still in Koilo, right? How old was he? He was still 80 years old?
Yeshua was
70. So he was still, until that point, he was still in Koilo.
Right.
What do you want to do? I'm in Koilo. He was studying under Moshe Rabbeinu. He did not yet have a plan what mark he will make in this world.
He was going.
Exactly. He never went. Mimela, he's called a nar. And that's exactly what it says here. That's what it says here. Lenar das umizima. Yosef was 17 years old. Not according to the Barbanel. Vuhunar. He's still, I'm still running around. I'm still having a good time. So this, I believe, is a very important interpretation of what it means, the word, a new mahalach, at least we come out with that, the title of the word nar. Okay, let's go to Pasik. Machsheves Eitzah. You see a plan. Look at Rashi. Rashi's mezima. Machsheves Eitzah means a plan. So what do you want to say, Admei? You want to say, it means, what do you want to say? Motivation?
Yes.
Motivation. Different concept.
No, you take a bunch of
nar. Yeah. You motivate them to accomplish something. Okay, it's a motivation. Okay, it's a different mahalach.
A goal.
Okay, now pasuk hey in Rashi Yishma Chacham Hamishalom Halalu. These Rashi is emphasizing that the purpose of this book is that the Chacham shall listen. The Yosef al Chachmaso lekach limud. The Chacham, it's not just enough. Because the Chacham already has knowledge. A person first learns Mishlei when he was already a Chacham. He has and opened up Mishlei and he knows Kol Terkula. Now he also will have what to learn from Sefer Mishlei. He'll add Limud, Al Chachmaso, Lekach, Lekach. What is Lekach? It doesn't mean cake. Is that Yiddish? Lekach is Yiddish? It's Hebrew? No, but you go to a Hasidish shtibel and they give out Lekach. Take something.
Take something out of context.
Lekach, okay. Okay, it's a borrowed. It's a borrowed term. It's a mini. You take lekach. Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Gabbai was in the Hasidic shul once. Erev Yom Kippur, the Gabbai gives out lekach. The tainus. Lehanikay. Why? Because you should have tainus. It's not shaykh for the Gabbai not to have insulted you.
No, the traditional is the honey.
Honey cake, yeah, okay.
Have a sweet good
thing. No, I mean, if you're going to take from anybody.
Diabetic, don't touch.
This is who I'm taking.
From who? What do you mean?
If my Xera this year was that I'm going to have
to be an Oni, that's another mahal. So it should be, this is, I mean, Machsal Psachim, this should be the key of the Klala. The yoiso here, lekach, is also a borrowed term. Lekach means lima, to take something. And the truth is, the ultimate thing that you can take from this world, what can you take from this world? When a person leaves this world, what does he have? He's not taking with him money. He's not taking with him his children. What is he taking? He's taking lekach, a limud. He's taking Torah, ma'asim tovim. You're taking knowledge. You're taking with you the experience of this world. V'novon tachbulus Rashi hamisham alo yosef al chacham lekach limud chacham zebal hashmua. A chacham is a person who has the master of shmua. Shmua means knowledge. To listen. When you listen, you are acquiring knowledge. The Navon, Mosef al Yidias Chacham, he is more than the Yidias of Chacham. Sheyadei Lachav and Dov Mitachtava, that's what she says many times. A Navon is Nahai Madrega, Mosef al Shemua, so he adds, he's Maven Dov Mitachtava, and the Navon is able to add to his knowledge. He will be able to have to gain from this sefer tachbulos yikne. Rashi is silent on these meanings, but we learned in the Mitzudah it means advanced knowledge. A tachbula, the Mitzudah says, dakus ho'ion, fine points. Okay, like I told you, we translate the word tachbula in a negative context. Trickery, a tachbula, a trick to beat the system. But that's not the way the Mitzvah here in this context translates. It means dakosin, fine points, come over tachbulos, asa muhamma. With tachbulos, they went to war. So there means you outsmarted, okay, fine points of knowledge. Now the. Okay, now there is a very interesting. Okay, there's an interesting Gemara Masech the Kedushin, and it's also Masech the Yerushalmi Kedushin. There are different versions. I know it's not important. I don't want to go into the exact details of the Gemara, but there's something I want to bring out. The point I want to bring out. Let me read you the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Nimnu Shloshim Vekama Zakenim. There was a meeting. Approximately 30 Zakenim got together. They had the following debate. Minayin She'ein Kiddushin Tovsin Biyavama. A woman is married. Her husband died. He did not leave over any children. This woman now is waiting for the brother of the deceased to do one of two things. Either to get to marry her, to do Yibum, or to give her Chalitza. So the question now is, let's say another person comes along, an outsider, and says, oh, your husband died, you know what, I want to marry you. Hare, here's a tabas, here are two witnesses. Hare, at mikudesh asli b'tabazo kedas Moshe v'Yisra. You married to me. So, the question is she married? Is Kedushin toifes? Does Kedushin take hold of a woman who is in limbo? She's waiting for her brother-in-law to do Yibum or Chalitza. None of the above have been done. And now someone tries to marry her. So this is a very big debate in the Gemara Masech. The Kedushin have different opinions on this matter. What? It's right, but this woman, Yevamis is coming up very soon, right? Yeah. That's the first Masechta in the Noshim?
Yes.
Yevamis. So it's coming up in what, in a week or two?
Chagiga
first. Moikon Chagiga, okay.
After Yom Tov.
Okay, so very shortly. So the question over here is, what's the halacha? So this is one opinion. Rabbi Yanai says, Nimnu Shloshim the Kamus came, but approximately 30 came, they came to the conclusion, Menayin She'ein Kiddushin Tavsim Yevamis, it's nothing, it's nonsense. The woman is not married. Just like a person who tried to marry a married woman, you go over to a married woman, you say, "Rani Mikudeshesli." It's not nothing is chal. Tamulay mar. It's a pasuk. Lo siya. It says in the pasuk, "Eisha samei sachutza leish zar." The word darshins lo siya. The word lo siya means it doesn't. Havaya. It means it does not exist. An attempt to marry a woman who is in limbo, kedushin is not toifes. Shelo yihye lo havaya eitzel acher. Okay, that's what the Rabbi Yanai said in the name of approximately 30 zakenim. It was their halachic decision. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yanai, the halakha Rabbi Yochanan, the very short Rabbi Yanai, I need the 30 zakenim to tell me this. 30s, they have to convene a conference of all the Chachamim. It's a Mefarish Mishnah. V'lo mas nisahi, it's a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Masech to Kiddushin. It says a man goes over to a woman, and the woman is a married woman. And he says, I'm sorry. A woman who's in limbo, who's in this situation, and he says to her, I'm giving you Kiddushin. Here's a coin. Here's a tabas. And here are witnesses. I'm giving it to you. I don't want you to be married to me now. I want the Kiddushin to be chal after you get chalitza. Not now, at a later moment in time. So the law is eina mikudeshes. So the question is why? That's all it says in the Mishnah. So the rule does not chal. The question is why not? So there's a debate. Why is this? That either you could say it's davar shaloi ba'al olam. That's the simple understanding. And the reason is, I now understand the reason why it's not chal is because kol davar she'eina chal now cannot be chal. In other words, you can explain this mishnah, this halacha, for one of two reasons. Either it's a davar shaloi bala olam, you can't do something now that you in advance. You can't, since right now you're still in limbo, you want the kedusha to be chal after you receive chalitza, and that event has not yet occurred, so it's premature. You can't do things prematurely. Or you can say no. The truth is, you can do things in advance. We disagree with that halachic concept. You can do something now that it should work in 10 years from now, even though the circumstances have not yet come into the world. But there's another principle why you cannot be chal. And that's because if you can't do it now, then you can't, then it cannot, you cannot do it later, at a later point in time. It's not... Without going into the details, the lump,
you can give the Maisa of David and Bathsheba is a perfect example, because why, when a soldier...
Well, he actually lived with her, right.
He might have been dead. You don't know the time that he expired.
Okay.
Possibility, but if you knew for a fact that somebody was, that he was 100% still alive, then a Kedushim couldn't, a get for a soldier could not be chal. Because it's for the future. It has to be able to be now.
Right now.
And you don't know for sure if it's chal now.
So right now. So what does the Mishnah seem to imply?
That the husband had died already.
So let's focus on this. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. So with the Mishnah, he's saying that since right now it doesn't work, that's why it's not going to work li'achar mikat. Why doesn't it work right now? Why can't this man say to the woman, I want to marry you right now? You are in limbo. You're waiting for your Yavama to give do Yivmur Chalitza. Who cares about it? I want to marry you right now. The answer must be a woman who is in limbo, a woman who is in limbo, who is waiting for Chalitza or Yibam. She is outside of the she is not within the realm of marriage. She's not marriageable. Because Lo Siya. So along comes Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan says, Rabbi Yanai, I need you and your 30 Zikanim to teach me this halacha. The machadish halacha that a woman who's waiting for chalitza cannot get married, it's a mishnah. The mishnah says, a man comes over to him, I want to marry you in a year from now after you receive chalitza, that's when I want it to be chal. So it says in the mishnah that it's not a good kedushin. And it's logical, the reason why it's not a kedushin, because since I can't marry you right now, since at this moment in time I don't have potential to marry you at this moment in time, that's why I cannot marry you in advance after it happens later on. So we see that this halacha already is illustrated in the Mishnah, and it's not necessary for this group of Zikanim to teach us the halacha. Now, it's not so simple. Now, reason
you could say something else. You could say maybe the Yavam, maybe it's because at the time Yavam changed his mind, he wants to be Yavam. Originally, he wanted to do Chalitza, but nobody knows. There's a possibility that the Yavam might change his mind.
That's the problem.
That's true. Let's just go through the Gemara on a very similar level, because it's not really the point we want to bring out over here. So this was the story. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai then said, and here's the key point that we need for our discussion. He said to him, "Wow, you're a genius, Rabbi Yochanan. You know, you have just fulfilled what it says in Mishlei." In Perek Aleph, Pasuk Hey, Yishma Chocham V'Yosef Lekach. Doesn't just mean honey cake. It means let the Chocham listen, and let him add knowledge. Let him add insight. Yishma Chocham V'Have Le Rabbi Yanai Mikalas Le. Rabbi Yanai got up and he said about Rabbi Yochanan the following praise: Yishma Chacham v'Yosef Lekach. In other words, if you look at the Gemara, this Gemara is appeared in many places, which means is that from the Mishnah, that's if you only learned the Mishnah and you did not hear what the Zakenim had to say, you would not reach the conclusion that the Kedushin is not Toifes. Because the truth is, the case of the Mishnah is not an exact match for my halacha. My halacha is where I am telling, I want to marry you right now. Right now, a man goes over to a woman who's waiting for chalitza. I want to marry you at this very moment. You're telling me a Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed a different case where a man says to a woman, I'm giving this to you now, but I don't want to be married you now. I want to marry you after you receive chalitza. They're not exactly the same case. You are coming to extrapolate and say the reason why the Mishnah says it doesn't work later on is because it doesn't work right now. And if it doesn't work right now, then it can't work later on either. That's not necessarily so. It could very be the reason really it does work right now. And the reason why it's not going to work for later on is because it's a davar shaloi bal olam. There are other reasons why the Mishnah would be true even if you did not know. But now that it's been revealed to you, this halacha that the Zakenim have taught, these 30 Zakenim have taught, now you have a new insight, a new understanding of the Mishnah, multiple, an additional reason to understand why when a man tries to marry a woman at a later point in time, it's not going to work, because even right now it will not work. And if it will not work right now, it's not going to work later on. And therefore, you've taken knowledge that you have received and you've applied it to something else that you have learned, and you have fulfilled what it says in the Pasuk. What it says in the Pasuk, Yishma Chacham v'Yosef Lekach. Okay, that's the Gemara. Now, the truth is, you can probably say this story, and you can apply this Pasuk in a million different stories. There are probably a million different examples in Chazal, in conversations that we're not aware of that have happened, where someone taught a halacha and said, oh, based upon this, I now understand this. How many times do Rabbanim, I'm sure Rabbi Yossi can tell you, a Rav makes a drasha, and you say a chiddush, a novel chiddush, and a balabas comes over to you and says, based upon the yisoy that you've said, now I understand what it says in this pasuk. Right? So you can probably give a million examples. Chazal specifically emphasized this concept of Yishma Chacham v'Yosef Lekach in regard to a halacha that's specific to Yibum and Chalitza. Why? Why do they have to bring this out when we're dealing with the concept of a Yibum and Chalitza? So the answer, this is a very powerful insight in Yibum and Chalitza. What is the essence, what is Yibum all about? Yibum and Chalitza. A person goes out, has a plan. He has a plan to build a bias, to build a family. The ultimate thing you can create in this world is a family. Okay, to create a healthy family is a much greater accomplishment than building a city, than building a building, a physical building. A physical building is nothing relative to the creation every person has by having a family, creating a bias b'Yisrael. And what happened to this person? He went to create a family, he got married, he had big plans, and he died. There was a churban. Mamesh a churban, the greatest churban. He died. He has a wife. He was going to have children. He died. So what does the Torah say? The Torah says, rebuild. The bias was choraf. I mean, the bias. Lo siya eishes hameitz hachutza leish zar. Just because there was a churban, don't give up. This plan, this bias that was in process, that was in its way of being built, don't just, okay, the bias is charaf, let's just move on with life. Rebuild the bias. There should be Yibum. The brother of the Nifter should come along and take this woman and marry her, have a child, and build his bias. And the child will be a zecher for the person who died. The concept of Yibum is don't give up so fast. Just because you suffer a setback, a major setback, don't give up. A churban happened. So you rebuild. Don't say, okay, like Twin Towers. It's gone, no more. A graveyard, finished. Resilience. You come back. You come back and you rebuild. That's what Yibum is all about. That is what is a chacham and a novam. That's the chil between a fool and a chacham. A chacham is, you work on something, you have a project. a project in Chochmah, you want to understand the sugya, and you know, it's just, I don't understand it. I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense. I'm thick. It doesn't penetrate. What? Eve. I don't get it. So what do? I give up. You give up. When you give up, that you're not a chacham. The chachma is, you fall, you stand up again. Sheva yikom tzadik v'kam. You have a chacham, yishma chacham v'yosef lekach. The deeper meaning of the pasuk by the Gemara connecting the concept of yibum specifically from every Maimar Chazal in the world that you can apply to this is telling you that I know what a chacham is. A chacham, he works on something and he comes up against the wall. Learn from your experience of failure to rebuild and go forward. V'yosef lekach. And go further based upon your experience and build upon that and go higher.
Says,
yeah.
So everyone can say, if I want to be a chacham, I'll be quiet. But what's the chacham? The chacham is not the shnika. The chacham is to talk, but to know when to talk.
Aha. Uh-huh. Right. Okay. You have
to be a siyag lechacham to be quiet. The real chacham.
Siyag lechacham.
The real
is to talk.
When it's appropriate.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Can she reject evil? Can she reject marriage in general?
That's what I want to
hear. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Someone comes over to a girl and says, okay, with this, I'm going to marry you. And there are two witnesses. She says, I don't want.
Of course she can.
Well, even after she's taken it, she didn't realize what it was for.
No, once she accepts, too late.
She may not have known what it was.
No, she has to make a conscious decision. No, if a person just gives, puts it in her hand and says, hurry on, what? No, she's not married.
So maybe that's what's happening here.
See a pretty girl on the bus, and you go over. Here's the money. Hurry up.
Maybe because she's in limbo, she's not
ready. No, we're going in a situation, similar situation, where she wants, she accepts it, but the problem is she takes it. It's a concept, halacha concept.
The Kedushin gives a whole scenario about all these cases early on in the first parent. In other words, what was her mental state? Did she just want to get rid of this guy? It gives the case where she's in a stand and she's doing things and a guy grabs something from her.
Leave me alone already.
She just wants to say, I'll give it back to you if you're married. She said, yeah, I'll marry you. She just doing.
She says, I was joking with you.
What was her intent? We try to get into her head. What was she thinking when she said it? Do you really think she meant it or not?
Mishata anibach. I was joking with you. Yeah.
The widow. Can she reject the brother-in-law?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Even among Ashkenazim today, it is not. You're not allowed to even do Yibam anymore. You're not allowed to do Yibam.
Right.
Ashkenazim, Svardim still do it. Believe it or not, in isolated cases, Svardim, Ashkenazim is looked down upon. It's looked down upon. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. Ashkenazim, really?
They don't ask. They do it. Like
they can convert to become a Svardi. Even among Svardim, it's very controversial.
Do they do Chalitza still?
Chalitza, of course.
Yeah.
Right out altogether.
What? No. Chalitza, of course. It has to be done, Chalitza. Of course. And it has to be done. Absolutely. Every so often. Today, you don't do even today. It's very rare.
I thought you said Svardi.
Even among the Svardim, it's controversial. It's very controversial among Svardim. And a sister-in-law, what? What? So what? The Torah says it's mutter. It's mutter. In Eish HaSach, it's a chiyuv kars. For a man to marry, to live with his sister-in-law, it's a chiyuv kars. It's incest. It's a chiyuv kars. So here the Torah says, in this instance, it's mutter. It's mutter because the brother died without children. It's mutter. So the question is, since generally it's incest to do such a thing, and now the Torah is telling you that it's mutter, should you take advantage of the Torah? Or the Ashkenazim say, you have to be a big Baal Madrega that you're doing it l'shem shemayim. You're doing it only 100% l'shem shemayim. So the understanding among the Ashkenazim for the last 1,000 years is, we're not on that level of spiritual holiness where we can say that we're doing it l'shem shemayim, and since in general this is a woman that would have been forbidden on pain of karis, incest, so the Torah gives you a way out, chalitza, so you do chalitza. Svarim don't look at it like that. They say, listen, the Torah says it's mutter. Every time you eat a piece of meat, so you're going to say you have to eat l'shem shemayim, I killed an animal, l'shem shemayim, you eat a piece of meat, it tastes good, so you have pleasure, so even this not l'shem shemayim. It's mutter. It's mutter.
Even nowadays, if the brothers are married,
100%, because a man al Torah can marry more than one wife. 100%, it's done. And you should know sometimes when it's what. What? No, that's an that's a tzara. First Mishnah, Masech Divamis. 15 tzaros. That's potter. Then you're not allowed. Then it's already chorus. Machlagis, Beshamai. This is all the Mishnayis. You have to learn the Mishnayis Yivamis. These are, you say this. They have every so often, what they do is a teaching experience. Every so often, when there is chalitza, Rachmana Litzlan, if the and the people who are doing chalitza, they're known by certain rabbanim, and the rabbanim are affiliated with the yeshiva. They use it as a teaching experience, and they do it in a very public way. I think they did it in this shul, if I'm not mistaken, 2-3 years ago in this shul there was a chalitza, in this shul. It was done in public, and they have
also used it as I went. When I went, there was like 200 people there.
200 people, and why handouts? And why they didn't want you, right? Shachta, they did with all the rabban. What? They have a special shoe, and they do it, and there are different ways to it. You can for sure go on YouTube. You can find videos. I saw, I learned Daf Yomi a long time ago. Like I remember like the first time I did it a while ago. So in Eretz Yisrael, there was a very very good video circulating. So the whole video was over an hour in Eretz Yisrael. The biggest Gedolei Yisrael were there. There was a big oilam. And they had the Yavama, and they had it was a very young couple. She was a young almana, and she agreed. You know, not every person is willing to be a pop, to be filmed and video. The whole world should watch this.
It's hard to do that because you can't.
It's a very motivation.
What? She was in the video. The video that was circulating online was a Haredi. It was a Haredi woman, a very Haredi woman ceremony. It was circulating. It was a very good video. It was very clear, very yeshivish, very Litvish.
It's a very moving experience.
Yeah, it's a sad thing. It's a very sad thing. And then they have over here as well. They have more modern ceremonies, unfortunately. But Rachman Uslan, this is it. But the point I want to make is this Yisrael. Let's review the Yisrael. The Yisrael is the whole purpose of Yibam is to go to don't be discouraged by a setback. You have to go further. And specifically this concept that's being attached to the concept of Yishma Chochem V'Yosef Lekach. If a person, a Chochem, and the difference between a Chochem and a non-Chochem is if a person suffers a setback in a plan, person has a plan to accomplish in Parnassah or in Shidduchim or whatever it is, and you suffer a setback, no, so you suffer a setback. Learn from the experience. Use the experience as a springboard to go further. That's the deeper meaning of what Chazal are doing here by connecting this Maimon Chazal to specifically this pasuk over many other options. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Vav, the last pasuk of the Hakdama, the Sefer Mishle, Lehavin. So now that he has told us for whom this sefer is being addressed to, four groups, the Pesi, the Nar, the Chacham, and the Navon, now, and what each one has to gain, each one has something to gain from this Chacham. The Pesi is going to gain Orma, the Nar is going to gain Das and Azima, and Eitza, the Chacham is going to gain Lekach, and the Navon's going to gain Tachabula. Everyone has what to gain, has what to add to their portfolio from learning Sefer Mishle.
Is there anyone else outside this?
Yeah.
It seems not. It seems that these four people are Koilel, all thinking people. All thinking people in the world are incorporated in these four groups.
You gotta find your place.
Pesi, Nar, Chacham, and Navon. So maybe someone's going to figure out how these four fit to the Arba Abana. We said before, you have the Chach. Who would be the Rasha? You'd pay the Pesi as a Rasha? That's not nice to say. I wouldn't say that. What?
Actually,
I think the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam does not have a Rasha. The Rambam has... He doesn't have the Chach. What does the Rambam have? He has the Pesi. The Rambam is different Lashon. I don't remember. The one who's not doesn't come to the Seder.
No, the one who,
and the Tzaddik.
The one who's asking the Manishana.
Yeah.
He's the fifth son. He's asking the questions.
He's Kineged Arbobam, so the Manishana is another son.
The one who's asking the
talking, he's the fifth son.
Okay, I always thought there were six sons. There were six. There are the four. Then there's the tzaddik. He doesn't have any questions.
And then... Fool.
Well, in the, well, it depends on the context. We translate as a fool. Here he tied, just look at the mitzudos. Look at the mitzudos for the word pesi. Doesn't say the mitzudos, there is no mitzudos, but look at the mitzudos, David. Pasuk Dalit. How does he translate Pasuk Dalit? A fool. Okay, he's very, very explicit. A pesi is a shaita, a fool. It will bring him his chachmus lahasra pisyas mlibim, the foolishness from their heart. Okay. I was there with six. There were the four. Okay. And then there's the tzaddik. The tzaddik doesn't have any questions. And then there's the child that doesn't come to the Seder. So the grand total of six. Okay. But here we have four different categories of thinking people, and they all have what to gain. And what are they going to gain? Pasuk vav lahavin mashal melitza. Now here we come to the word of melitza. Melitza is a very hard word to translate. It's very machlokes in the mafarshim. We'll see. A mashal is the parable, and the melitza. The melitza seemingly is the nimshal. I'm going to learn that for the moment. There's the mashal and the nimshal. The mashal is the parable, and then what's the message? If the isha, the woman, the good wife. That's the mashal, that's the parable. What's the nimshal? The Torah. The Torah is the nimshal. That's what we're trying to compare the Torah to. Melitza, according to some of the commentators, is the nimshal. Yeah?
Yeah,
the melitza is the messenger. So that would have a whole different interpretation. The messenger is the one who delivers the message. So that how that would really fit well in this context. Okay, we'll see here. Some indeed they mention that. Okay, let's just see what it says. The mashal of melitza, divrei chachamim, the words of the wise, v'chidoy sam, and their riddles. Okay, v'chidoy sam is a new word. So you have so many different words. Arma, das, zima, lekach, tachbula, and now we have over here the word a melitza. And achida. Achida is a riddle. Let's take a look at Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos Dav. Elhavin, Mashal, Melitza, Ratzulema, Hadvarm, Ha'eleh. These words, Nemarim al Shnei Durachim. Okay, they're said al Shnei. The Mitzudos says Shnei Durachim. There are two things you're going to gain. Number one, Elhavin es HaMashal. First thing you're going to gain is the Mashal. What's the Mashal? Masha Himshal El HaMelitza. Meaning, let's say, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Okay, that's a Mashal. That's a mashal. What is a stumbling block? You learn a very important rule. When you go on the street, don't put a piece of stone on the road in front of a blind person. That's the mashal. Just to know that lesson is also worth something. And that's oversimplistic, obviously. Everyone can understand that. But sometimes I can explain to you a technique. You're in business. I'll explain to you there's a certain technique you should be aware of, that in business, don't do this. Don't, this is not a good business strategy. Or this is a good business strategy. You have gained knowledge. That's the mashal. Then there's the melitza. Now take this business strategy that I've taught you in your business practice and apply it to life. Apply it to a derech in life, in dealing with your family, in dealing with your spouse, in dealing with your children, in dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the nimshal, that's the melitza. But besides the melitza, you've also gained a business strategy, practical business strategy, what I've told you to do in business. See, we don't even, sometimes the mishalim, unfortunately, are so simplistic, we don't even appreciate that we've been taught something new in life. Someone tells you, don't put a piece of wood, don't put your garbage cans in the street. Right? I don't need you to tell me that. That's super simplistic. But if I tell you some very complicated business strategy, how to invest, what to do, which you would not otherwise know, oh, I have gained practical knowledge, which is literal knowledge. But in addition to that, there's something much deeper. So that's what he's over here. I'm going to present you over here in Sefer Mishlei things that are not simplistic. I'm going to teach you things in Sefer Mishlei that are wise just for their sake alone. Ratzalaimer Hadvarim, Hanemorim Al Shnei Adrachim Halavin is Hamashal, Ratzalaimer Masha Hamash Mash Himshal El Hamalitza, Vigam is Hamalitza Atzma. He means that the Malitza means the Nimshal, the lesson, the moral teaching of the parable. Kisha Oimer Behamalitza, Lihishamer Mizoina, for example, when a person tells you Behamalitza through the message, I'll just translate the word Malitza over here to mean the message, the Mitzudos Sion translates Malitza in Yonai Amorim Tzachim Hamikubolim Al Halev, clear words, words that are pure, which are readily acceptable to a person's heart. So when you hear, for example, what's the mashal? Hamalitza Lishame Zoina. A person tells you a trick. A person has a very strong Yetzahara. And when he comes in contact with women who are not of high moral standing, he falls in. He right away, he stumbles because he has a very strong Yetzahara. I'm going to teach you a trick. I'm going to teach you a trick that when you come in this situation, in this matzav, you'll be able to overcome the Yetzahara. So you have gained something. That also, that is the mashal. L'sham yizoyna, v'amura l'hamshul alohapi korsis. What's the melitza? Just like you've not fallen into the trap of this zona, apply that same technique towards apikursis, towards a hashkafa that is false against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hine yesh lavin ba'aliyos nizer gam mi'isha. So what have you gained from the mashal of the zona? Gam mi'isha zona ulitoysefes beor. So you've gained two things: the zona, that's the mashal, and the melitza is your derech, your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that it should not become come to apikursis. Ulutaysefes beyer. Then he goes on to say, the end of the pasuk is Amar divrei chachamim v'chidoisam. What does the end of the pasuk mean? What's lema hadvam hamun b'peh mole? Things which the chacham said explicitly, the haramuzim b'derechida, things that are hidden. So everything that the chacham say are to be taken at face value. Similarly, there's a parallel. The divrei chachamim is the mashal. The words of the wise is the mashal, and the chidoisam is the riddle. The riddle means the deeper message that lies in the words of the chachamim. So the divrei chidoisam parallels, according to the mitzudos, the word melitza. Melitza is the message. The message that you take out of the mashal, the parable and the message. The chachamim is the mashal, and the chidoisam is the message. Rashi pasik. Brashi pasig vav, lahavin mashal melitza sheyidnu lev lahavin b'mikros shnei hadrachim hamashal v'hamelitza sheyavinu es ma himshil l'melitza. What message lies in the expression? V'afrin hamelitza lo yasudu libam. The melitza, the message itself, you shall not depart from. Shagam hi tzrichim lahavin. You also have to understand the melitza. You also have to understand. For example, k'shamal lahatzilcha me'isha zara. When a man tells his friend to stay away from an isha, from a strange woman, v'nachria al hevle mitzrayim nemar. So it refers not just to a woman, it refers to the Hevle Mitzrayim Nemar, refers to the nonsense of Egypt, meaning the Avodah Zarah, the Tumah that Klal Yisrael was surrounded by in the Shem, they sunk to the 40th level of Tumah. Hari HaMashal V'af HaMalitza Shehotzi Mishalei B'loshon Isha Havein Ba V'zor Mi'isha Zara Samachem Mi'isha Zon. So he's repeating himself different words. I'm not exactly clear how to translate the words, but he's basically saying that these two concepts. It seems from Rashi says the opposite of what I've told you. Rashi says that the Melitza is the what we call the melitza is the story, and the mashal is the nimshal. Okay, Rashi seems to be saying reversing the melitza is the story. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a technique. I'm going to tell you something wise, and you can apply this wisdom at face value. That's the melitza. Then from that you can extrapolate to something deep and profound that you can apply to your life, and that is what he's calling here the mashal. Then the passage includes Divrei Chacham V'chidoisam Darshei Rishimos V'chachamim Darshei Rishimos Mikra Molei V'chosar Remez V'dimin V'chida. So over here he's referring to Rashi, he's going off on the track of Medrash, and is telling you the Chachamim, they darshin when a pasuk has an extra vav, a missing vav, an extra yud, a missing yud, there is a kotz, there is a special tag on the letter, or the pasuk is said in a certain form, and it alludes to a remez, a hint, v'dimyoin v'chida, it's a mashal, it's comparing one thing to another, or a chida, or a riddle. There are many layers of interpretation in every single word of the Torah. Okay, we'll stop here with pasuk zayin. We've finished the hakdama. A messenger. Don't kill the messenger.